Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
It's the Duval Hot Takes Podcast, starring Sean Daly.
It's okay, because if Pat quits, we can replace him with an AI.
Pat can't even spell AI.
Pat Smith.
Donate now to increase Kansas City's airport to become larger than your local broom closet.
With Taylor Smith and Devin May.
I wish my name was Patrick Mahomes so Chris Collinsworth could kiss my freaking athlete's foot.
Here we go.
What is up, Jaguar fans? Welcome to the Duval Hot Takes Podcast, your favorite podcast for Jacksonville Jaguars football, brought to you by Big Cat Country and SB Nation. My name is Taylor Smith. I am your moderator for the show. I am joined by your hosts, Sean Daly.
What a ride.
Pat Smith.
Yes, sir.
And Facts and Stats Man, Devin Mabe.
Hello.
Well, listeners, you already heard it. We had one hell of a run. After two losing seasons, well, more losing seasons, but the last two especially, 1-15 in 2020, 3-14 in 2021, your Jacksonville Jaguars made it all the way to the playoffs in their 2022 season with a record of 9-8, snuck past the wild card round, entered the AFC divisional round against the Kansas City Chiefs, put up a bigger fight than anyone else did this weekend, Cowboys, Giants. But even so, a very disappointing, disheartening loss for the Jaguars, 20-27 against the Chiefs, and the season has finally come to an end for the Jags. Now, I know there are a lot of feelings surrounding this game. Upset about the loss, sure. Proud for how far we got, okay, all valid feelings. I'm very anxious to hear how our hosts are feeling, Pat especially, since he made it all the way out to Arrowhead. So, Pat, I will go to you first. Walk me through the journey. How was the tailgate? How was your experience?
So we show up in Kansas City. If you've never been, you're not entirely missing out. Middle of nowhere. Actually, to be completely honest with you, before I even boarded the plane, I couldn't even point out Kansas City on a map. So I wasn't. I thought we were 2 hours behind. I thought we were 1 hour behind. I wasn't even sure. I thought Denver was literally like a 2 hour drive from Kansas City. And boy, was I wrong. Okay. When we get to that part of the country, everything turns into land at that point. I don't know what's left from right. Anyway, so we get there. Gloomy, no sun, very cold. We get to the tailgate. We're tailgating in enemy territory, which, if you don't know, the Kansas City Royal Stadium is right next door to the Kansas City Stadium, and both stadiums are in the middle of fucking nowhere. Okay, absolutely. Like there's Jim Bob's house and a bunch of neighborhoods within the vicinity of the stadium. So, very odd placement for such a stadium. Let me start with the fans. The fans are great. Fans are great. I try. You want to talk shit, but these guys were very, very welcoming, very, very warm, very... I mean, there's a little bit of banter, obviously, but there was nothing to really take to heart. It was just as advertised, right? The fans are great. Midwestern hospitality, if you will. Very well done, very great. And that's where it kind of just stops, right? It starts sleeting at like 1 p.m. The snow's coming down. It's not so heavy, but it's snow. A guy from Florida that's wearing nothing but cloth. There's no like protection. I'm not wearing gloves. I'm in sweats. Didn't enjoy that at all. I was ill prepared. That's fine. That's what happens when you live in Florida for you know 15 plus 20 plus years. You get inside the stadium. Nothing to write home about. It's just a big concrete block stadium. There's one TV in the entire, like one big, you know, one screen that's hardly a quarter size of any big screen, big What do you call those on the stadium?
Jumbotron.
Thank you, Dev. One quarter jumbo. Size jumbotron on each side of the end zone. It was nothing right about. And then most importantly, the thing that was advertised all week long, right? The thing I was actually looking forward to listening to hearing from myself was the noise, right? The noise of the stadium. The thing that they've been advertising ad nauseum for the week leading up to this. It was nothing. There's nothing there. I was waiting for my eardrums to be beating myself to death. It's a divisional game. It's a big playoff game. This was supposed to be a big atmosphere. Nothing. We had little John at halftime that sounded louder than the crowd did the entire time, and all he did was yeah for 30 minutes. Worst halftime show I think I've seen in a long time. But yeah, I mean, overall atmosphere, the place, the city. I got it done. It's done. Won't go back. Won't recommend. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got for you. And the airport. Don't get me fucking started on the airport, okay? That was a shitbox in itself. They should take all funds in Kansas City and invest in knocking down that airport and building a new one. It was the size of a broom closet. You would check into TSA. Sean, you would check into TSA, okay? I would go through security at TSA. They would give me a little tug, you know, make sure everything was good to go. And then the gate was right there. Like, I was just literally, I was putting my shoes on, and then I took a step and went on the plane. That was the airport. That was the entirety of the airport. Didn't even need TSA. That's what I got for you.
That's what you got, man.
What I got for you.
All right, dude. So you didn't dress for the weather.
Did not.
All right. Didn't dress for the weather. Were you drunk enough to where it didn't matter?
Oh, I didn't feel a thing.
All right. That's good. That's good.
You could have broken my heart 6 times that day, and I wouldn't have felt a thing.
Did you make kickoff?
I did make kickoff.
Oh, you did? Oh, wow. See, that's why we lost. That's why we lost.
Let's not start pointing fingers now.
You know, I'm just saying, you know. I really wanted to make that trip. I'm really bummed that I couldn't make it. Unbelievable. The Jaguars, it was a great year, and they played well. They didn't play poorly, but we needed them to be okay, and we needed to be great. We needed Kansas City to be okay, and which checkmate, like, we got it. We got that. Check that box, because they were just okay. The only receiver on the team that got open the entire game was Travis Kelce. And, I mean, the Marcus Valdes-Scantling touchdown, that was still good coverage. All right, and Tyson Campbell got beat, but that was good coverage. They weren't open. Travis Kelce was the only receiver that got open the entire day, mm-hmm. because there is no tight end in NFL history that is better at finding soft spots in the zone than Travis Kelce. He would take 2 steps and turn around.
Yep.
He would take 3 steps and turn around. And those are option routes. They're not calling 2-step turnaround every time. He has the option when he sees the defense, because he used to be a quarterback, to sit down wherever he thinks he's going to be open, and that's what he does. He and Patrick Mahomes have the most chemistry in the league between a quarterback and a receiver. I'll wait. You got anybody else? Anybody else got more chemistry, quarterback and receiver, in the league? No. Those two are one mind, mind meld. They know where the other one wants to go with it. He knows where Travis Kelce's going to be on every play, and it's always option routes. So it was just... Man, they're great. They're really great, and you had to be great, and you just weren't great. You weren't crisp. All right, we're -7 in the turnover margin in the playoffs. -7 in turnover margin in the playoffs. That's not Super Bowl winning football. It's just not. You can't do that. You gotta bring your best game in Kansas City against Kansas City. Doug Peterson had a good game plan, I think, because they were playing back. And so the underneath stuff with the bubble screens, I know a lot of people were very upset with how they weren't throwing down the field, but you're getting 4, 5, 6 yards every time on these bubble screens. And so why would you go away from it? Even if you're down, even if like the score gets ahead of you, you stick to the game plan. And I had no issue with the way that Doug Peterson called the game. I know a lot of people have issue with it. I'm seeing a lot of people that were angry they didn't throw the ball downfield more, but they had 6 guys in coverage downfield. So what are you going to just throw right into the coverage just because, oh, well, at least I tried throwing downfield? That's stupid. The Jaguars just needed to make the play. The Jaguars just needed to make the plays when they were there. Christian Kirk dropping that big ball I think it was the first quarter, even. And their only real throw downfield, and it was there, and it beat the coverage, and Trevor Lawrence threw a dime, and Christian Kirk just didn't make the play. I mean, it was there. He laid out. He just didn't bring it in. That was one. On defense, when they give you a turnover, you got to take it. When that team gives you a turnover, you have to capitalize on the turnover. And Foye Luakwan had both hands on the ball, and he dropped it. He dropped an interception that would have turned the tide right there. And the big play, obviously, at the end of the game, Jamal Agnew fumbling on, 5-6 yard line. And the Jaguars are definitely going to score on that drive. All the momentum. Trevor Lawrence is clicking. They're killing it. And Dougie P is going to go for two there. And we're going to get it. He's going to call the beers too damn much extravaganza. And we're gonna hit it. And Riley Patterson's going to hit the game winner, and the Jaguars win. The Jaguars were one play away. One play away from beating the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't want to hear about the Patrick Mahomes fucking high ankle sprain, whatever. He was fine. He was on adrenaline. He was playing well. He didn't need either foot in the first quarter when he threw that jump pass and when he's throwing the ball from a 3/19th angle under his waist just to get it through the arm slot and get it through the zone. I mean, the guy's just different. He's just different. He's built different. Trevor Lawrence has the ability to be a great quarterback in this league, potentially the next Peyton Manning, but there will never be another Patrick Mahomes. He is just different. The way that he plays the football game, no one has ever done that. No one's ever done everything he does on the field. It's crazy. And if it weren't against the Jaguars, I would have been very entertained by watching him play, but instead I was just pissed because it was the Jaguars, all right? All in all, man, I can't hate it. I can't hate it. You know, whether or not you believe in the house money take, we're really early. Quarterback is very, very young. The core is very, very young. And we're going to be back. We had a great year. Came back from 27-0. Best day of my life in Duval. That happened at home. They did that for us. They beat the Titans. They won the division when they were 3-7, picking 1.1 2 years in a row. You went into Kansas City. You gave them your best shot. You covered the spread, for those of us who care, like myself. And I chalked this season up to a great, great win, and I love every player on this team. Even Cam Robinson now. I mean, Walker Little has just made me love Cam Robinson. What the fuck was that, 72? 72, what? He picked up Cam's old skates.
He
picked up Cam's old skates and put them on and was like, boop, 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 boop. He looks like a cartoon character out there at times, Pat.
Yeah.
He lost the job.
Yeah.
He had the job, and it's gone.
And
had the job.
It's gone.
And it's gone. So now, I don't want to get into, like, you know, free agency. We have so much time to get into. We have so much time to get into all that. Let's just appreciate this group. This group will not come back next year. We're going to lose a lot of pieces. The dynamic's going to change. Calvin Ridley is going to change the offense. Hopefully not too much. I want Calvin Ridley to be a little better than Christian Kirk. That's what I want Calvin Ridley to be. Because I love the way that this team is open man. I don't care who I'm throwing to. I'll throw to Manhurts if he's open. I like that. No, there are no egos on this team. There is not a singular ego. And Roy Robertson-Harris, man, that sounds of the game on YouTube, if you haven't seen it from the Chargers game 2 weeks ago, look it up. It's like a movie. It's seriously like somebody wrote it in Hollywood, like Trevor said, and then all the, you know, it's scripted. Shut the fuck up. If you think NFL is scripted, shut the fuck up. Just turn off the podcast. You don't get to listen to me anymore. If you think they script the NFL, stop fucking listening to this right now. Okay? I hate you. It's impossible. It's impossible to script every play of the NFL. They can want things to happen, but it's not. All right, whatever. But Roy Robertson-Harris, I'm burying the lead. He said some leader of the defense type shit in that game. Leader of the defense type energy. When he went to the offense and Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk and Travis Etienne, and he said, we got you. We got you. Don't worry about it. You just play. We got you. No matter what, we got you. That's some leader of the defense shit. And Roy Robertson-Harris played like a man possessed in the last month leading into the playoffs and then in the playoffs as well. And I had him as a cap casualty easy. I had that easy money. I was like, bam, give me that $8 million. Roy Robertson Harris, it's been fun. Have a good one. Now, dude, I feel like it's going to be so hard for me to say goodbye to any player on this team.
Let's pinch some pennies. Let's see if we can
get
rid of the equipment guy or something. How much can we shave off that?
I want Roy back now, man. Did you see it when he said, we got you, when he looked at the offense and he got super heat?
Yeah. I watched it 5 or 6 times, yeah.
What other player on this defense is that leader? Like, I feel like he took over for Smoot. Like, Smoot was kind of like the vocal, you know, I've been here for 6 years, I'm the veteran. And then Roy Robertson Harris just slid into that role. And I think it took DeJuan Smoot getting hurt for Roy Robertson Harris to finally reach his potential on this defense. And now if you get Smoot back at 100%, that's a big if with Achilles. Mm-hmm. But if you get Smoot back at 100% with Roy Robertson Harris, and I mean, you got Arden Key, he's a free agent. We're never going to have this group again, guys. Everybody listening, Pat, Devin, Taylor, DHT heads, this team will never be the same. It's going to change. I'm not going to say it's going to be better. Hopefully, in some aspects, it will, but it'll never be the same. We just need to appreciate the run that we had with this group, the fact that there are no egos on this team. It was, you know, not great players, but the right players at the right time, and it all came together. From the new players that we signed to the old players that were on this team, like Roy Robertson Harris, like Jawan Taylor, who is most likely going to be gone. He played himself into a fat contract the second half of the season, and I don't think they're going to be able to play. And so we're going to be moving pieces around like crazy, so let's not even worry about that now, and let's just reflect. Dude, I had so many great points in this season. And it sucks to end the way it did, but you lost to the best. You lost to the class of the NFL for the past 5 years. You lost to that team. Now, moving forward, we need to build this roster to beat that team. You're going to need to beat that team in Kansas City. You're going to need to be able to go into Kansas City and put up 40 points. That's what you're going to need to do. So,
and most importantly, Chad Henne. You have to defend against Chad Henne. You have to defend against. I mean, there were some Jaguar greats that you faced.
Yep.
This Saturday. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chad Henne, the Belldozer. Okay. Yep. Let's not forget Blake Belldozer.
The Belldozer.
Okay. Super Bowl winning tight end. We're talking about right there. I mean, just elite talents on that side of the ball. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Listen, you were a hop, skip, and away from shocking the world. That's what it came
One
down.
Play.
That,
One
that's
play.
What it comes down. And you had a chance that you could have picked any three of those plays that you mentioned to make it that one play. So you had opportunity, right? You didn't play yourself out of it like you did the Chargers game. You kept it relatively cleaner, all right?
Turn the ball over twice. Don't say clean. The run game? They still turn the ball over twice.
Well, sure. You turn the ball over twice. The ball security. If we're going to do anything in the offseason, it's called ball security. Yeah. We got to run the hell out of some ball security drills for the rest of it. You know, ETN, Agnew, Trevor. Let's work on ball security.
Hopefully we bring Agnew back, dude. He's a free agent too. There's so many pending free agents that it makes me so sad.
There are.
It makes
there
me
are.
So sad.
And, you know, my favorite play in this entire was Trevor Lawrence just absolutely body bagging number 38 before that Agnew drop. Yeah. I don't know if you
Sneed,
saw that. I thought about you because, you know, you have a pretty prevalent take on here, and that is you hate seeing Trevor Lawrence taking that extra step, you know, taking those unnecessary steps. Get down, baseball slide, figure it out.
Live to play another down.
But in the moment, you know, playoff football, you know, you kind of get a different mentality about you. You needed that extra yard to convert the chains. You needed that extra. And just seeing him lower that shoulder and give him a nice little check, nice little how you doing, you know, how you doing this evening, Mr. Sneed. Pop, and then just come right back up and get back to the line like nothing happened. Oh man, that's something that'll get your fucking juices going right there. You know, just seeing a guy that's willing to put his body on the line, you know, for just that extra yard, bringing down the chains. And again, it's unfortunate how the next play goes out, but it's part of the game, man. That's how it works. That's how it works, you know? You played a game that you weren't supposed to be in with a team closer than they expected you to ever be in.
Very close.
And that's how the game ends, all right? I mean, again, there's no reason for disappointment. You could be upset, but there should be no reason that you're mad or frustrated or calling for guys. I'm seeing Jamal Agnew needs to get cut. Don't even give me that, okay? The man has shortened the field on more occasions than I can count, and he did it again this week. All right, this week he gave you a nice short field. He almost broke twice for a touchdown. But he gives you short fields. He helps you out on the special teams. And again, it's not something that shows up on the stat sheet. It doesn't. They don't record, short fields. I mean, you can see how many return yards he's gotten, but you don't know what that quantifies on the football field. So it's unfortunate. Okay, it's unfortunate the way the ball fell out, and that's that's how weird shaped ball, guys. It's gonna bounce.
Stop with that fucking take every goddamn week with the ball. One day it's not gonna be weirdly shaped anymore. One day the ball
and I'll stop watching the sport.
We're gonna play with a beach ball just so Pat can stop making the weird ball fucking take.
It's called basketball. Hey, basketball, that ball bounces the same way every time, right?
Yeah, not if you're Courtney Lee in the Orlando Magic in 2009.
You. Wow.
Wow. Buddy, I've been.
Holy shit.
The Jaguars have been eliminated. Now it's Magic takes.
I was going to say, how did you sprain like something reaching that far back in time for that take?
Brother, we got John Isaac back.
I hope you stretched, brother.
We got John Isaac back, dude. Fucking 10 points in 9 minutes. Don't get me started on Orlando Magic.
Okay. Yeah. Let's. Yeah. I don't want to. If I could fill this podcast with how many Orlando Magic bets have been fed to me over the last 4 or 5 years of my life, I could
tragic
fill,
bets.
I could fill up notebooks with this shit.
Hey, man. Beat the top team in the NBA last night.
Oh, tell me more, Sean. Mm. If you look again, Sean mentioned it lightly. You look at the year before, the year last, and
1.1.
Yeah, bad. Bad, 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 bad. And worst. I swore it off after last year. I said, if I ever see another 1-1 pick, I don't know what I'll do. I can't stomach.
Move to London.
I can't stomach another 1-1 pick. I don't want to do it anymore. It's not fun. I don't like seeing it. I don't like hearing about it. I don't like the pressure with it. Get it off. I want to pick in the 20s. I want to pick in the 30s. Get me off of it. Mm-hmm. And finally, it's happened, right? You finally did it. You're playing meaningful football in January. I haven't done a mock draft all year long. I couldn't tell you.
I did three after the game.
I couldn't tell you a single name that has been projected to us all year long. Just because I've got football to watch, baby. I've got meaningful football. I am on the slate every week. I get to watch and preview my team while other people are twiddling their thumbs, getting excited about GMs, getting excited about head coach interviews. The Buccaneers are trying to bring some cooter to their team.
I saw that.
You know? There's such little, meaningless things that I don't have to worry about. I just get to watch pure football. And up until last Saturday night, I was able to do that. I was amongst the privileged and the deserving. And we will be back. Mark my words, boys. Because this is probably the first offseason that we enter where there's a foundation like there never was, right? You have a head coach, you have a quarterback, you have skill players, you have some pieces of the defense. There's cap space to work through. That's fine. There'll always be cap space to work through. It's not real. Money's not real. You can make that thing whatever you want it to be. Turn it into signing bonuses. Turn it into you could do all sorts of stuff to manipulate it. So we are in a great place right now. We are in a great place right now as a team, as a franchise, while others in this division especially are just trying to grasp onto anything. Just any kind of hope, any kind of continuity, any kind of established skill. We don't have that to worry about. We don't have to worry about that. We're in a great place. Watch the rest of the world burn, and we'll just continue building up our empire. And me and Sean, again, we love the contracts talks. We love the cutting, the cap casualties. We love seeing and imagining what the future is going to look like. You'll take that journey with us. And again, hey, hell of a fucking year, boys. Yep. Hell of a fucking year. You did some good shit this year between establishing yourself in the division again.
Building a culture,
beating the Texans, sweeping the Titans, okay? Showing Justin Herbert he's not the quarterback of the future. Justin Herbert's praying for a playoff win that he may never amount to anytime soon. And you did that. You did that. Trevor Lawrence is showing he is here. He is a national name to be reckoned with. And we did some good fucking things this year. So be happy about that.
Heads held way high. You have your franchise quarterback. You have direction.
That's it, baby.
I don't know. I don't see how you can look at this season as anything more than a massive success. And it's only going to get better from here. We're only going to get better. And, brother, the cherry on top was our leader, 16, standing in that tunnel.
Oh.
Standing in that tunnel.
Oh.
And making sure he greeted every last player on the team on their way in to show, I will never give up on you. I will. He just wanted another play. You saw on his face. He wanted one more play.
But see,
play
that's,
so
that's, that was what I was going to go to. I Logan Bowles, NFL photographer, professional, has some good snaps of him in that tunnel, and you can see it. He looks back on that field. At that moment, you can see the want. You can see the determination. You can see the pain. He captures it. And I'm telling you, man, if you're in front of 16 next year, you got another thing fucking coming to you, because that guy's going to play with a little bit of anger, a little bit of resentment, a little bit of rage that he didn't have this year. Because this year meant something for him. Last year was a clown show. Last year was a high school musical, okay? It was fucking child's play, okay? It meant nothing. The wins meant nothing. The losses meant nothing last year. It was just you were collecting a paycheck. This year, it meant something, and you can see it. You can hear it from these players. You can hear it on the post-game interviews. It's a different mentality this year, okay? And so all that pain, everything he's seen, everything he's done, he's encapsulating it. He's taking it. He's putting it together in a neat little box.
Toolbox.
Okay, and next year, baby.
Yep, look out.
Next year, he's going to be playing with some of that he didn't have at the beginning of this year.
With a new weapon.
That's it. Oof. Yeah, if Roger Goodell, hey, free my man, please, okay? Come on, Roger.
All right, I don't want to get into the Ridley takes too much. We got the whole offseason for it, but I will say one thing. If he complains about his usage one time,
I see this take so much, and it's tiring, Sean.
But I'm telling you right now, because we got a good thing going, dude. We got a good thing going.
I get it.
There are no egos on the team, not one ego.
Here's the thing about Calvin Ridley that I don't think a lot of people understand. The guy, and listen, I'm not boys with him, but I can only imagine.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not.
I thought you guys were tight. Oblong friend takes oblong text.
maybe we can get to that point. Maybe, you know, we can't really talk much about football. I don't want to get him sanctioned or anything like that. So, but here's the thing.
Sending parlays to each other.
Well, they're not magic parlays, I can tell you that, brother.
Oh, well, they would fucking cash last night, brother.
The guy is starving to play. This is a man that played football and was a monster on the perimeter. I mean, he was smoking cats up the sideline, catching balls effortlessly. 1,000-yard seasons, no problem, okay? So when you pull that carpet from under a guy that's been doing that his entire life, that loves doing it, the guy enjoys it. Trust me, I'm sure he enjoys it. A year goes by, 2 years go by, and now, you know, that meaning, that's those guys screaming your name on Sundays, the kids wearing your jerseys, yeah, all that's gone, you know, and you almost become a nobody. And then now you get this trade going, your name's in the headlines again, it's brewing, you're feeling the importance to drive again. I think there is nobody more excited to come back and play football again than this guy in the entire NFL. Active or non-active, this guy is pumped. He is ready to play. He's seeing what Doug Peterson is doing with whom some considered the lesser elites of Zay Jones and Christian Kirk and Evan Engram, you know, these guys that were shunned from their franchises and told, hey, you'll never be great again, or hey, you're just a role player. He's seen what Doug Peterson is doing with these cats. Okay, these guys are household names now.
DeAndre Hopkins is seeing it too.
That's you're now getting to a point where you are becoming an established franchise where people
want to play here.
Want to play here.
Yep.
Okay.
No more
you used
overpaying.
To have to pay. You had to pay Malik Jackson $90 million to sniff Jacksonville air 5 years ago.
Worth it.
Worth it. But that's what you had to do to get him in the door. You had to throw bags at him to make him even read Jacksonville in a text message. Okay.
Now, 10-cent bags.
Now, guys are seeing what you're doing in Jacksonville. They're seeing Doug Peterson and what he's doing in Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence and how well he's upgraded his tools and skill set this year.
Oh, his bag is deep.
It's deep. I mean, it's effortless now. Bag. It's almost getting to the point where he's just clicking. It's just there. It's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. And guys want to play for that. Guys are excited about that kind of stuff, right? This is like when Tom Brady's in his prime and Randy Moss is like, yo, I want to get a little piece of that. That's why Gronk would only play with Tom Brady, because he only trusted him and only liked playing with him because it was fun and winning and all that that came with it. So you're starting to build that here in Jacksonville, and now guys like DeAndre Hopkins are looking. Calvin Ridley's excited to come in. I mean, Calvin Ridley, he posts on his Twitter every fucking week about the Jaguars. The guy is pumped to come in here. So just to wrap up to your point, I don't see the issues. I don't see the concern. I don't see why a guy that's been out of the league for 2 years would even jeopardize playing in a spot where now he can amount to that success yet again. I just don't see it.
All right. So let's reflect a little more on this year. Your favorite play of the year and your least favorite, most disappointing player. So let's do favorite play. All right, no. Let's do most surprising player, favorite play, and most disappointing player.
Okay.
All right.
Which one we start with? Surprising player?
My most surprising player, I think should be everyone's most surprising player, and that's Evan Engram.
Mm-hmm.
He's an elite. He went from just a guy to elite tight end.
Yeah.
Elite.
Career year. I believe career year, right?
Yeah.
But this is the best he's played.
Oh, I don't think it's even close, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
he got, again, new founding love for the game, dude. He was in New York just rotting away.
Yep.
You know, he was getting thrown the ball, you know, by Danny Dimes. It was getting boring.
He tried to win Devin a fantasy championship by himself.
He did single-handedly.
He tried.
He said, Dev, I got you. Get on my back. I'm gonna take you.
And
here.
Dev said, I got Derek Carr as my quarterback. I'm sorry, you tried hard. I ain't got shit for you.
Derek Carr fucking sucks.
But dude, yeah, Evan Engram went from signing that we weren't sure about. We were kind of like, all right, well, and he was probably the most valuable player on offense other than Trevor Lawrence.
Listen, I was that guy. I said, what did I say? I said I didn't like his oopsies.
He had the drops.
And I didn't like his health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't know what we're going to get out of this. Can't be that bad. We'll see what happens. And boom, there you go.
Yep.
Probably the best tight end that's played for us, what, 10 years?
So do you mirror my take then? You agree?
I don't.
Oh,
I don't.
Okay, most surprising like player. Guy. Let's hear it.
I like a guy on the other side of the ball. Rayshon Jenkins. Okay, he was fun to watch this year. This is a guy that comes out of the safety position, comes downhill for a tackle if you need it in the box. If you want him to get him, he'll come down and make a blitz play. He'll stuff the running back in the backfield. Obviously, he loves the picks. He'll be there for the picks, interceptions. I think as a complete safety, Rayshon really, from expectation when we first took him, because I remember Rayshon came in at the same time.
Urban Meyer signing.
Yes. He came in at the same time as Shaq Griffin did.
Best friends.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll see what we get. I mean, I was pretty pumped about it. I was like, these are pretty good names. I'm good with this.
Spoiler alert, there's a cut casualty for you there.
There you go. There is one.
That's
there
the
is
easiest
one.
Take good, I've ever
that's
had.
That's good as gold, baby.
Food is nice. I like eating food as well.
Good as gold. But yeah, Rayshon Jenkins has been fun to watch this year, man. And again, well worth every dime, every penny. very happy with his play. The guy flies around. I am excited for more Rayshon Jenkins football. Give me more Rayshon Jenkins football.
Yeah, and anyone that soured on Rayshon because he can't cover Travis Kelce, nobody can cover Travis Kelce, okay?
Find me, point me out somebody.
You find me the guy that can cover Travis Kelce.
Find me Travis Kelce's kryptonite, because I'll tell you his kryptonite, and it's father time. That's all. That's the only guy that's going to beat Travis Kelce.
That's it. Yeah, Tom Coughlin.
That's, well.
Out to pasture. But okay, so your so that's your most surprising player. Okay, favorite play. All right. My favorite play. Rayshon should be involved. I mean, there's the Tennessee Titans the way they ended. There's the Cowboys the way it ended. But man, I tell you, wild card round against the Chargers. 2-point conversion, and I swear I've watched this replay probably 15 times, brother. I think Trevor called his own number. I don't think that was the call.
What, which one are you talking about?
The 2-point conversion when Joey Bosa got put in the insane asylum by Juwan Taylor and went on a diatribe after the game that you need to look up. It's hilarious, him bitching and moaning about the refs. But he gets the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Peterson says, thank you for the yard. Let's put it on the one. They snap the ball, and the offensive line moves backwards. The offensive line moves backwards, and the running back is running up to get a handoff. From the replay, I can't confirm this because they haven't confirmed it, but that Trevor called his own number. They had a play called, I think. This is pure speculation. I think they had a play called, and Trevor saw an opening to reach that ball over and said, I'm getting it right here. I'm getting it right here. And if that happened, brother, that makes a franchise quarterback. That kind of play is what makes your franchise good for the next 15 years. And that is just special stuff. That is special, special, special stuff. And it makes me very happy that that guy plays for my team. We have a quarterback that says, my ball. And I love that. So much. And that's my favorite play, because why would the offensive line move back? If the call was quarterback sneak, why would the offensive line not be diving in? Dude, he saw an opening. He took the ball and said, I'm getting it right here. I'm not leaving it up to chance. And it won us the game. If we don't get that 2-point conversion, we don't win the game. That's it. Trevor Lawrence, man. The balls. And the guy that everybody, they went in on him about his leadership and about how he couldn't get you to run through a door. You know what I mean? Like, not through a wall, but like through a door, because like he was soft. And Trevor Lawrence won. You just completely put that take to bed. I am a leader. This is my team. Zay Jones talking about him yelling at him for the first time in that Chargers game. Like, he found himself in this postseason. He tasted winning again, and he was the kid from Clemson that loves football and can lead anyone. And that's our guy. And I think it was completely, it reached fruition on that play against Los Angeles in the wild card playoff game. That was when it happened. And it just makes me very happy. That's my play. It could easily be Rayshon strip sack against the Titans. I think that's most people's, but man, you know, I loved that, reaching over the...
I think I know of a play prior to that play where Trevor Lawrence starts to mold into that quarterback you're looking for. And that was against the Tennessee Titans on the 1-yard line, hikes the ball, keeps it to himself, posterizes that little crybaby bitch, whatever the fuck his name is, third string linebacker, try to come up, try to be somebody, wanted to make a play, wanted to make mama proud. Spoiler alert, mama, not so proud.
She could still be proud.
No.
Not on that particular play.
No, I wouldn't be proud. Watch my son eating grass like a cow.
Take the long way home.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence calls his number, takes it downfield, divisional opponent, to set the tone, all right, comes down 1-yard run, down the sideline, stiff arms. Again, the guy's going to be on a poster for his entire career. He will never amount to anything bigger than the moment that Trevor Lawrence stiff-armed him into the ground to take it for six and score. And again, calling his own number, being that quarterback that says, hey, we need six here. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take it. I'm going to do it right now. Okay, very similar to that play against Kansas City. I need that yard. I'm going to do it right now. Lower that shoulder. Introduce yourself to a new defensive man that probably doesn't know about you. Okay, him and Doug Peterson coming into their own this year is priceless. There is no monetary value that you can assign to how Trevor has progressed and how well he and Doug Peterson have meshed together in only a short year's time, and it's so promising. I mean, it's so promising. This is the highest of highs for that, for those two combination groups of head coach and quarterback that we have seen
ever.
It's been so long. I just can't even put a figure, a number to that, because I don't know when it was.
Mike Mularkey and Blaine Gabbert.
It has been so, it's been 82 years. It's been so long. I am so glad.
Gray and Jack Del Rio.
Oh my God, dude. I'm so glad that that is not something I have to go into an offseason and think about ever again for at least 10 years. At least 10 years. Forever, ever, ever long Doug Peterson will allow his reign to stay in Jacksonville. I will never have to worry about it ever again. And that's all I can say.
This isn't going to be the last thing, okay? I just got to say, disappointing player, I think we're going to have the same one. It's pretty easy. I mean, Shaq Griffin's bad, but...
It's pretty bad. And he only played, what, five games?
Trayvon Walker.
Oh.
1.1, brother. Where you at?
Here's the thing. I can't be disappointed in Trayvon Walker. You know why? Because I never had
angry.
No, I never had I never had a ceiling for Trayvon Walker. Right? I saw that draft. I knew what he was. I knew what he was. I knew that he was going to be. And
you
I'm
better
glad,
have a ceiling, because it's raining disappointment, brother.
I'm glad that we're finally starting to play him inside a little more. I think that's where he's going to excel. I think he excels off inside the edge. Let him play straight. Let him get his big arms up and help with the batting down balls and
push
hands up, head down, push. Get that mentality going on the inside of the line. That's where he's going to excel at. That's where he's going to be great. I don't think
you don't think he could develop pass rush moves?
I just don't think so, man. I just don't. He plays too tight. I don't see him.
And you took that guy 1.1, the guy that can't develop pass rush. You took a pass rusher that has no moves.
He's got no bend. There's no bend to him. I just don't see it. If he can surprise me in the offseason, he gets some training, he gets some vets in his ear, maybe goes to a couple camps and gets some techniques down, I'd love it. I will encourage it. I will absolutely love it. I think he's going to be a down and dirty player. He's going to be a guy that's helped. And he has. This is what he's shown me so far. He's going to help on the run support. He's going to be able to cut off lanes. He's going to be able to come down, contain, and help on that support. And that's fine. If that's what he comes out to be, that's fine. But I'm not excited at 1-1 taking that. Now, that's why I'm not disappointed in Trayvon Walker. Because that's what I thought he was going to be. And here we are. So...
Well,
I guess if you were going into the season thinking he was going to get you 10 sacks, 8 sacks, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know what would lead you to believe that.
Well, that's probably because the guy picked right after him got 9.5.
Sometimes do the easy thing, man. Just do the easy thing. Sometimes it doesn't take the big brain thing. But again, listen, it's very early. It's a year in. Tyson Campbell, that's my most recent history. Tyson Campbell, I wrote off after the first year, all right? I said, listen, Tyson Campbell would never be nothing but more of a can of soup, cold soup, okay? Cold can of soup, you're never going to open because you can't open it because he can't turn his head around.
Doesn't have a can opener.
Listen, probably one of the most dominating quarterbacks in the league this year, all right?
Top five PFF.
And it's a tight class. There's some monsters that play cornerback this year.
I know.
And
one got picked a few picks after Trayvon Walker.
He did. So it's a tight class. And to say he's even top five, I'll even give him top eight. If you got to argue with me, I'll give you top eight. Top eight cornerback going into his second year, and he's been playing absolutely blanket football on defense. Like he is covering you like white on rice. He's in your back pocket like your wallet. He's there all day. I can't say I've been more lost for words. He has absolutely turned the narrative around. He's playing excellent football at cornerback, and I can't wait to see what more Tyson Campbell shows me at cornerback. And I'm very excited for the secondary as soon as we cut Shaq Griffin. Because I'll be honest with you, that's my most disappointing. $18 million a year. And you know what plays in my head consistently?
BK, have it your way.
Whoever greenlit that commercial is the same guy that built the Kansas City airport, okay? That's the same guy.
Whopper, just
stop it. It's Alec Pierce burning Shaq Griffin for the touchdown in Indianapolis to lose the football game. That plays in my head like a motion reel, just over and over and over again, and I can't keep watching it. I can't wait. The news cannot come fast enough. I cannot wait for that cut to hit. I've never been more excited to cut a player. And cherry on top, I'm getting money for cutting him, so that's even better. It's even better. I can't wait. I'm excited. You know, Shaq, you take your money. Enjoy the bamboozlement. I wish you nothing but the best. I just wish you would not be in Jacksonville anymore.
All right, so I think we're going to be taking some time off here, right? I mean, I think that would make sense.
Yeah, we'll come and go. We'll come and
go. We'll be back, okay? Just like the Jaguars. All right, we'll be back. If we came back after a few of those seasons, you better believe we're coming back now.
You bet your sweet ass we'll be back.
Y'all are stuck with us now, Duval Hot Takes. You are stuck. But, you know, it's going to be a minute, so, you know, Super Bowl, dude. Let's have some fun with it. Dude, Joe Burrow, I think it's my most favorite player in the league that doesn't play for the Jaguars. Mm. I think it's Joe Burrow.
Joe Chill.
Dude, I mean, the guy is absolutely, you know how humble Trevor is, and like he's like a silent leader and just that confident. Joe Burrow is the opposite of that. Like, he is just like, I am going to talk the shit and back it up. I'm better than Josh Allen. I'm better than the Bills. Fuck, get the refunds. I hope the Bengals win. I hope the Niners, the great stories, man. The guy that you picked last.
Yes.
I mean, the Jaguars, I mean, honestly, if we didn't have Trevor Lawrence, I would have wanted Brock Purdy instead of fucking Trayvon Walker. And if they were polar opposite picks, like, he was literally last and Brock Purdy is leading the Niners on a Super Bowl run. And all the bad teams are out. The teams that nobody wanted to win, those teams are all gone.
Yeah.
It's nothing but good teams left now. And man, I'd love Niners and Bengals, man. What do you think?
That's exactly what I want. I want
yeah.
Purdy Burrow. That's what I
Purdy,
want.
Yeah, because that way we win either way. It's a great story either way. I don't want the Chiefs. Everybody hates a dynasty, and they are a dynasty.
The Chiefs are becoming the new gen Patriots, is what it is.
They're more humble, I guess.
Well, the fan base, sure. But it's getting annoying. It's getting annoying.
I mean, it's annoying because Mahomes is so good. That's what's annoying.
You got your Super Bowl, okay? You've won way more than you've lost in the last 5 years. Just take a back seat, relax, you know. Let a new guy come around. I think the Bengals get a beat in a close one.
Yeah, I'd love it.
My take is I don't think Brock Purdy is going to come back next year as the same guy. I think that's going to fizzle pretty quick.
We'll see, man. We'll see. They got a problem.
I think it's a great story. I love him. I think he's doing great for him now. I think that's a ticking clock. I don't think that's a forever.
If the Niners win the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure Trey Lance is going to throw that ring into the fucking river. You piece of shit, Brock Purdy.
Could you imagine Trey Lance?
You ruined my fucking life, man. Oh shit.
Oh, you could probably get some collateral.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They only traded away 3 first round picks to win a Super Bowl with the guy they took with the last pick.
Little did they know it was all lining up. I wonder if that last pick part of the trade package?
I don't know.
Do you think?
Tangled web.
That would be hilarious.
Tangled web. I will trade. Like, I want the Mr. Irrelevant pick now. I'll trade you Shaq Griffin for that last pick right now.
Nothing
straight
more.
Straight up.
Keep the money.
I'll give it.
Keep
the receipts. Will trade you a third round pick and Shaq Griffin for Mr. Irrelevant. Golly.
I like what they're doing at the back of that draft.
They figured it out. It's going to be a fun finish, man. It's going to be a fun finish, and it's going to be a fun offseason for the Jaguars. We are going to either Josh Allen, Juwan Taylor, or Evan Engram. One of those three guys is not going to come back. Possibly two of those three guys are not going to come back. So this team will look a lot different. So just take a time to enjoy the season we had. It was a great run. We deserved it as a fan base, but the ownership did not. They lucked into this. And I'm here for it. You know, they looked into it, but here we are. Chris Jericho's going to games and shit.
Hey, it only took one clown movement for these guys to realize, wow, we should really start pressing buttons and pulling some levers here.
And, you know, Trent Baalke's not getting enough credit. I know I kind of been on his ball sack a little bit, but to go through the scrutiny that Trent Baalke did the last 2 years, literal shirts with your face as a clown, people like demanding that you quit, like get out of here, we don't want you. And he said, I will win you back. I will do whatever it takes to win you back. I will make the best free agency class this organization has ever seen to win you back. And he did. I want Trent Baalke to be my GM the entire tenure.
Let's 1 year was good. He did good.
He just needs somebody else to draft. I want to see
results on a second year. The Calvin Ridley trade was great. I want to see it. Let's repeat. Let's rinse. Let's repeat.
Oh, you want to keep applying the pressure so he's, you know, you want
to
make diamonds.
You can't. You can't give me just 1 year. Now I'm going to say, oh, okay, I take back everything I said. No, bullshit.
Oh, I am.
Bullshit. Get back to work.
Get back to work.
Okay?
No days off.
You get a pizza party on Friday. It's a 15-minute break, and you get back to work, okay? Job ain't finished.
Pat does not support the worker. He supports the company. We got you a pizza party. Yeah.
Yeah.
20 years of service. Yeah.
That's
we got
right.
you a pizza party in the office.
That's it. Pizza party.
All right. Well, now that we've shifted to workplace politics,
I think it's a good time to wrap things up.
Listen, this has been one hell of a year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm glad the overall feelings from our hosts this week is pride that we made it this far. There was hope for sure, especially after getting a winning streak at the end of the season, but making it to the divisional round and losing to the best, this is something special. Like they said, this team won't be here next year. There will be some changes, but I think there's a feeling here. And it's not going away anytime soon. I think next year and in the years to come, you're going to see more of what we saw out of the Jags in the last few months. Trevor will continue to climb. Doug Peterson will help mold him and the team around him. And we as fans will have the privilege of watching it happen. As Jags fans ourselves, Jags fans first, podcasters second, what a journey. And whatever comes next, it has been a genuine pleasure to get to do this with you, our listeners. We are so thankful to you for tuning in, even when things started out rough this season, seeing it through to the end with us. We are now and will always be your Duval Hot Takes podcast. I'm Taylor Smith, moderator.
Sean Daly, your very thankful host.
Pat Smith. Get back to work, you fuckers.
No days off.
Dev made facts and stats and hopeful Jaguar futures.
All right, everyone. That's it from us for now. There will be more. You can count on that. We're going to take a little break. I know Sean and Pat already started doing their year-end review this episode. We'll probably see a little more of that in future episodes. We'll pop in here and there in the offseason to say hi. And trust me, before you know it, we'll be back together ready to do it all over again. Until then, peace.